بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. One of the fundamental themes of the Quran is for a believer to develop the firm and the deep-rooted conviction that only that good will come his way which Allah has ordained for him, and any evil that Allah Ta'ala has planned for him or Allah Ta'ala has decreed for him, none can avert that from him. This is one of the themes of the Quran, one of the messages of the Quran, which Allah repeatedly reiterates. So in the 24th juz, in the very first page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Say unto them, all the deities and all the individuals that you supplicate and worship, إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ. If Allah intends sickness, illness, disease, difficulties, adversity for me, هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرِّ. Can they collectively avert the tragedy that Allah had decreed for me? Or flip the coin and reverse the scenario, أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ. Allah intends goodness, Allah intends prosperity for me, هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِي. Can anybody withhold the prosperity that Allah has ordained for me? No, not at all. That is why one pious scholar used to say things very amazingly. Whenever he would apply for a job or he would request something, and if it was approved by the relevant authority, then he used to say, إِنْ أَعْطَيْتَ فَإِنَّ الْمُعْطِي هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ مَشْكُورٌ وَإِنْ مَنَعْتَ فَإِنَّ الْمَانِعَ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ مَعْذُورٌ. That, oh my brother, if you give me what I have asked you, then in essence Allah has approved me, but protocol calls that I thank you. If you approve my request, you fulfill my desire, then actually you haven't approved it, but Allah has approved it, but it's courtesy that I acknowledge you. وَإِن مَنَعْتَ فَإِنَّ الْمَانِعَ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ مَعْذُورٌ. And if you refuse, in essence Allah has declined. If you refuse, in essence Allah has declined, but you'll be excused. Subhanallah. That is the essence of iman. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of our death daily. Every one of us are going through this, but it's just that we don't apply our mind. We know in Arabic, An-Nawm Ukhtul Maut, that when a person sleeps, it is the sister to death. It's so close to death. And some people literally sleep like janazas. I know of one brother, you know, it was scary to sleep next to him. Hands on the side, eyes semi-open, and then sometimes when he snores, those hands lift up and they come down. That's not the best of feelings. You really don't. And then wrapped in a white cloth, you can just imagine all those emotions, what's going to happen. But be it as it may, the Quran says, if only we apply our mind, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. Allah says He withholds the soul of an individual when he passes away. Allah Ta'ala takes the soul back. And Allah equally withholds the soul of a person that goes to sleep. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, when a person goes to sleep, then his soul is somewhat suspended. Somewhat suspended. So it has some connection with the body on the earth as well. And it's also hovering above him. So he's semi-dead, he's semi-alive. He's partly in this world, he's partly in the world of Akhirah. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. And Allah said, if then his death is decreed in that sleep, then we don't return and restore his soul to him. وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And if it is meant for him to live the next day, then at the time of him awakening, Allah says, we return and we release. The actual words of the Quran, we release that soul and it reconnects with that individual and he stands up till ultimately that time will come when Allah will withhold it and it will be his final hour. So every one of us goes through this exercise of death where we go to sleep and we are so close to death. Just to give you, to digress objectively, for example, in the Quran, Allah tells us that when we abuse our sight and we abuse our faculties, then Allah has the ability to disfigure us. As a warning, as a deterrent, as a point of caution, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ. If we want, we can blind their sight. We can obliterate it. We can completely snatch their vision. Make them visually impaired. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ. If we want, we can change their appearance and disfigure them. فَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا مُضِيًّا. They won't able to inch and they won't able to return to their places. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that warning, humanly, when will Allah disfigure? We never heard of people being disfigured. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then couples the next ayah with a minor disfiguring to which we identify. وَمَن نُعَمِّرُهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. And that's the connotation the Mufassirin explained, that those people who reach old age and become senile and frail, then often we disfigure them by paralyzing their faculties and their abilities. And this is a minor form of disfiguring. This is a minor form. So you might not instantly see a sighted man becoming visually impaired. You might not instantly see a person who has the ability of hearing and he's deprived of it. But you do see people aging and gradually they're becoming weak and frail and fragile and they lose their faculties and their resources. And in another place of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it, and I just, you know, have a flash of it. Very, very amazing. And the Mufassirin show the same connotation here. In the 14th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this here. Look at how the Mufassirin explain. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. Allah created you, and ultimately He causes your death. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ. And there are some from amongst you, Allah returns them to weakness and old age and senile and frail. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. We discussed that, so that they know nothing after possessing all the degrees they had. But thereafter Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah knows it all and can do it all. Allah knows it all and can do it all. Now, the qualities and the attributes of Allah that are mentioned in the Quran, the scholars of tafsir tell us, the meaning is the same at every point, but the connotations are different. The meaning of Alim means all-knowing. That's everywhere. Wherever it comes, Allah is Alim, it means all-knowing. But in the context of that ayah, the connotations are different and it's narrowed into that context. So, Allah knows it all and can do it all. Allah knows why, who He deprives of their faculties at what time. Qadir, He has the power to deprive a young man of his faculties in his prime and his youth. And He equally has the power to preserve the faculties of an old man in his old age. And subhanallah, we've seen it so many times. In another verse of the Quran, Allah says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Man is the noblest of Allah's creation, but as he ages, we make him the lowest of the low. We make him the lowest of the low, meaning he becomes helpless and he becomes feeble and he becomes of no use. So a minor form of disfiguring happens before us. A minor death is occurring. A minor death is occurring daily while we go to sleep, if only we apply our minds. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those who worship other objects and isms, but we can contextualize it in our social gatherings. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. When Allah is glorified, اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. Then you will find those who do not have conviction on Allah, they become very disillusioned. They become very uncomfortable. They become very withdrawn. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِ. And besides Allah speak of anything and everything, إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. There's no words that can explain their joy and their happiness. Now this was a verse regarding the infidels of Makkah who took pride and pleasure when speaking about their false isms and idols. But let's contextualize it. And that's what I keep on saying. I say it in my class to my fellow students, and I even say it whenever I'm addressing a general audience. We can sit and moan on the pagan Arab, how he buried his daughter alive, and openly enjoy having some, what they call, safe abortion. Surely that was a crime that they did, but at least they committed it with a sense of guilt. Today we call it a skill, we call it a service being offered, for which money exchanges hands, for which an unborn child has been mercilessly killed. And this is done in the name of freedom and democracy and having your right and controlling your life and dictating when a child needs to be born or not. How often in a social gathering, touch the topic of Allah or anything Islamic related, and there's it, folks, I'll say you, I'm leaving, it's over, I need to go. And speak about sports, and speak about politics and speak about the currency and speak about the competitors in the market, and the night is young and it's happening and it's easy, and you can run for hours and hours and everybody is entertained by the gathering. But no sooner the mention of Allah is made, the Quran said, Ishma'azzat qulub. And in another verse Allah said, يَكَادُونَ يَسْطُونَ بِالَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا. Some people go into such rage that they literally want to choke those people who tell them about Allah. They actually want to yastoon, they want to attack them, they want to assault them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and grant us the true conviction and the true love of Allah. Thereafter, the verse that follows there is a very commonly read verse in du'as, in supplications, in the nocturnal prayer. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite this in his prayer by night. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the knower of the unseen and that which is apparent. Allah, you will decide between your creation regarding the matters in which they disputed. Surely the world is a world of turmoil. Somebody sent a beautiful clip on one of the chats that I'm on, and it hit me. It was in Arabic. They said, سَقَتَتْ تُفَّاحَةٌ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ فَاكْتَشَفَ نِوتَنْ قَانُونَ الْجَاذِبِيَّةِ. I'll just quote it exactly as I read it. That an apple fell on the ground, and the scientist Newton deduced the law of gravity from it. That something was dropped, the gravitational pull of the earth, and there we understand the law and the phenomena of gravity. And then the caption goes on to say, and tens of thousands of Muslims' lives have fallen on the ground, and nobody has understood the law of human dignity. One apple fall down, and we deduce the law of gravity, and tens of thousands of innocent children's lives have fallen, and nobody has understood the law of human dignity and human preservation and the value of humankind. So I'm reminded at this juncture, there was the great scholar Rabi ibn Khuthaym. Rabi ibn Khuthaym was a tabi'i. He was a tabi'i of phenomenal caliber. He was a man who would weep so much that one day his mom came to him and heard him weeping and sobbing. And she went into a state of panic and said, my son, did you commit some crime that I'm unaware of the way you're lamenting? Said, yes, my mom, I've killed someone. So the mom lost her balance and she said, who have you killed? She said, قتل. He said, قَتَلْتُ نَفْسِي بِالذُّنُوبِ. I have killed myself by sinning against Allah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who is this great giant, Allama Nawawi has mentioned in his kitab, Taqrib, on the strength of Muhaddith Masruq. Muhaddith Masruq was a great scholar. He said, إِنْتَهَا عِلْمُ السَّحَابَةِ إِلَى سِتَّةِ. The knowledge of more than 100,000 Sahaba can be narrowed down to 6 Sahaba. What an accolade for these 6 Sahaba, that in essence they embody and imbibe all the spiritual transmission of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the entire galaxy of Sahaba. Essentially, you can narrow it down to 6 core Sahaba. Ali radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ubay radiallahu anhu, Zayd radiallahu anhu, Ubay ibn Ka'b, 6 Sahaba. Thumma ilmu sittati ila Aliyin wa Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And then you can further narrow the knowledge of those 6 into 2 individuals, that is Ali and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Wow, what a feather in the cap. What an accolade. That all the knowledge of the entire Sahaba could be concentrated in 2 individuals. Can you imagine when they spoke what knowledge would emit from their bosoms and their chests? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who is one of those 2 people, he said to this young man, Rabi ibn Khuthaym, the Nabi of Allah did not see you and you did not see him. But I'm fortunate to see the Nabi of Allah and I'm equally fortunate to see you. By Allah, if Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to see you, he would have been extremely fond of you. لو رآك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحبك. What a testimony, the testimony of a Sahabi that the Nabi of Allah would have loved you. What is our condition? I cry when I read the words of Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah. He said, والله لو رأيتموهم قلتم مجانين. وَلَوْ رَأَوْ خِيَارَكُمْ لَقَالُوا مَا لِهَا أُولَاءِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ ولو رأوا شراركم لقالوا ما يؤمن هؤلاء بيوم الحساب. If you had to see the Sahaba, the best of you would have concluded by saying these people are mentally impaired. They've lost their plot. They don't understand life. Their navigation is different. Their compass is different. They're looking at life with a different eye. The best of you, if you had to see Sahaba, simply because you've deviated so grossly from the actual values. And flip the coin, if the Sahaba had to stand up and see the cream of your crop, they would instantly conclude by saying, these people don't have an iota of iman in them. These people don't have a shred or a thread of iman in them. If the Sahaba had to stand up and see the best amongst you, they would say, no, show us Muslims. These are not believers. لَقَالُوا مَا يُؤْمِنُ هَؤُلَاءِ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. So here is this painful page in the annals of Islamic history. The painful, appalling, tragic martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But this is life. We need to remind ourselves, we want to subject Allah to operate on our emotions. We need to subject ourselves to the system of Allah. Allah hasn't made this land and this earth and this transitory abode the place where the results are dictated. This is an examination room. The best of students go through turmoil. The most delinquent of students walk out of the examination room with a smiling face. We are in an examination mode. We need to understand the system through which Allah operates and subject ourselves to that thinking and not expect Allah to be subjected to what we want. Occasionally Allah will give the happy moments. Occasionally Allah will bring the joyous occasions. But as a conclusive result, as an ultimate result, this world has not been designed. If this world was designed, then Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whom my Nabi was so fond of that he had ascended the pulpit, and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah walked in, and their innocent walk, and their lovely walk, and their childish walk was so adorable that even my Nabi halted his khutbah and he said, Allah has spoken the truth. Children are such a test. I couldn't resist these children when I seen them walking in. Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. And one day when Sayyidina Umar ascended the pulpit, Hassan radiallahu anhu came to him and he said, you're sitting on my father's minbar. And Sayyidina Umar said, you are quite right, but for now Allah has made me in charge. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had given an allowance from the national treasury, so he gave to Abdullah ibn Umar 1,000, and he gave to Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma 5,000. These were our glory days. Today those that come in power, nepotism is part of their dealings. Nepotism is inseparable, it's intrinsic, it's inherent, it's part of the deal. But Sayyidina Umar ruled with such charisma, with such beauty that is unheard of in the annals of human history, leave alone Islamic history. He gives his son 1,000 and he gives Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah 5,000. So Abdullah ibn Umar says, okay, my father, fair enough, you shouldn't advantage me because Islam doesn't advocate and condone that, but you shouldn't disadvantage me either. I was in the forefront. وَهُمَا يَلْعَبَانِ فِي تُرُقَاتِ الْمَدِينَةِ. And Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma were kids. They were playing on the streets of Medina. Dad, when I was actively in the forefront, you allocate a handsome 5,000 for them and you drop a lousy 1,000 to me. How do you reconcile between this? It gives one a shudder in the back. Umar, till today we are proud of you. May Allah shower His choicest blessings on your blessed grave. And then we want to get negative influence of other people and other sects who want to indoctrinate your mind about the giant Umar. Because Sayyidina Umar had dismissed Khalid ibn Walid in a particular battle. Understand the life of Umar objectively. Today there are threats on the iman of our children. There are threats on the aqaid of our children. The love of Sahaba is the essence of our faith. It's the core of our faith. It's the cornerstone of our faith. If we revile or use derogatory, or you read in a book and you find your thoughts wandering negatively, no, I don't think the Sahaba were fair. Shut the book and save your iman. Shut the book and save your iman, my brother. Make no mistake, some people write an entire book to indoctrinate one line. You say, no, the whole book was good. These were the words of the great Mufti, Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Say, no, the book is good. I just found one, two things objectionable. No. The book was designed to indoctrinate the one line. What did Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say? Hallaka ummun ka ummihima. Listen, oh my son Abdullah, point taken, and apologies if I've offended you. It's not you versus Hassan or you versus Hussein radiallahu anhuma. It is your mother versus their mother. Their mother was Fatima radiallahu anha, and your mother was my wife. With utmost respect, I have no objection to my wife, but where can she be equated to the great woman Fatima radiallahu anha? So I look at these two through the lenses of who their mother was. So this was the great martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, which Imam al-Shafi'i said, تَأَوَّهَ قَلْبِي وَالْفُؤَادُ كَئِيبُ وَأَرَقَّ نَوْمِي فَالسُّهَادُ عَجِيبُ. Oh man. تَأَوَّهَ قَلْبِي, my heart is restless. تَأَوَّهَ قَلْبِي وَأَرَقَّ نَوْمِي, and I've lost sleep totally. فَالسُّهَادُ عَجِيبُ, my insomnia is so amazing and strange, even medically there's no prognosis or explanation to it. فَمَمْ مُبْلِغٌ عَنِّي رِسَالَةً. Will anyone master the courage and go to the blessed soul of Hussein radiallahu anhu and say to him, ذَبِيحٌ بِلَا جُرْمٍ. He was an innocent soul that was killed with no crime. كَأَنَّ قَمِيصَهُ صَبِيغٌ بِمَاءِ الْأُرْجُوَانِ خَذِيبٌ. فَلِسَّيْفِ إِغْوَالٌ. Look at the ta'bir and the description. He says, leave alone the horsemen, leave alone the warriors. Even the arrows that were shot in his direction are retracting and even they lamenting. This is what you call the takhayyul of a sha'ir. This is what you call the description of a sha'ir. فَلِسَّيْفِ إِغْوَالٌ. And if you go close to the swords that were used against Sayyidina Hussein, you will hear those swords weeping and wailing, provided you have the inner eye and the deeper eye and the spiritual eye. The Quran said, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's not the physical eye that's blind, it's the inner eye that's blind. تَزَلْزَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. I actually think the whole earth started trembling when the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was assassinated. تَزَلْزَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَكَادَتْ لَهُمْ سُمُّ الْجِبَالِ تَذُوبُ. And the lifeless mountains also started speaking. وَقْشَعَرَّتْ نُجُومٌ. The constellations gave way. The stars lost their brightness. يُصَلَّى عَلَى الْمَبْعُوثِ مِنْ هَالِهَا يُصَلَّى عَلَى الْمَبْعُوثِ مِنْ آلِ هَاشِمٍ وَيُغْزَى بَنُوهُ إِنَّ ذَالَ عَجِيبُوبُ. You send salutations on the Hashemite Nabi, and in the evening of that same day you kill the grandson of that same Nabi. إِنَّ هَذَا لَعَجِيبُ. What a contradiction in your profession of love. So when Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was assassinated, which was a very, very sad day, people came to this great man who I just alluded to, and I gave you one, two accolades of his great legacy, Rabi ibn Khutaym. They said, today the man will speak. Today he's going to vent. Today he's going to open himself. Today he'll talk a lot. Today is a sad day. They said, Rabi ibn Khutaym, if I contextualize that in journalist words, can we get a statement from you? Can we have a press release? Can you put something on the microphone? We need to capture it. We need to run with it in the media. What's your take on the assassination of Hussein radiallahu anhu? How do you view this whole thing? He said, an exclamation of pain. أَوَقَدْ فَعَلُوا. Have people literally done this? You get in footage. The masjid of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. The masjid of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. The grave of this sahabi. And then he gives you a shiver in your back. And you say, Allah, am I hearing right? These giants, these stalwarts, these legends by all definitions, these great luminaries, my Allah, that blessed land on which they walk, those masajid that were named after them, my Allah, have been bombarded. What did Rabi ibn Khutaym say? وَقَدْ فَعَلُوا, have they literally done this? They said yes. Then he said, قُتِلَ مَنْ كَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُجْلِسُهُ فِي حِجْرِهِ وَيَضَعُ فَاهُ عَلَى فِيهِ. Today they have killed a man who the Nabi of Allah would cuddle in his lap, and often he will soothe and lull this child with his own blessed saliva. Often he will soothe and lull this child with his own blessed saliva. Then he read this verse. He lifted his blessed finger. He pointed to the heavens. Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ardi alim al-ghaybi wal-shahada. Allah, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Allah, you know the hidden and you know the apparent. And you know the wisdom and you in control. You give respite to the butchers. You give clemency to the tyrants. You give rope to the monarchs. You give grace to the dictators, Allah. Anta tahkumu bayna ibadik. Surely the matter will lie with you, my Allah. And on the day of Qiyamah, you will decide and you will allow justice to be meted out against the perpetrators. Chapter close, and that's all what he said. And really today we in a world like that, my brother. Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard, anta alim al-ghaybi wal-shahada. Allah, you make it easy for the ummah in these extremely traumatic and trying times. And may Allah preserve our iman. In the verse thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the arrogance of man. Allah says, when we test him, then he supplicates us. When we then substitute the agony by prosperity, then he's quick to say, I have diverted the difficulty through my skill and my competence. Tell him, this is but a test. Innama utituhu ala ilm. It's my skill, it's my know-how, it's my competence, it's my grip, it's my maturity, it's my years of experience through which I navigate my way. Far from that, my brother, it's the will of Allah, it's the grace and the kindness of Allah. قَدْ قَالَهَا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Many who preceded you chanted the same slogans. فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Nothing availed them. Nothing availed them. They were gripped by the torment that came their way. One of the most comforting verses in the entire Quran, by the description of many sahaba, say unto my servants who have transgressed and wronged themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. You know, in the hadith it comes that when you repent to Allah, أَنْسَلَّهُ حَفَظَتَهُ ذُنُوبَهُ. Two things I just want to share on the clemency and the grace, forbearance and tolerance and forgiveness of Allah. Somebody said, اللهم لك الحمد على حلمك بعد علمك. اللهم لك الحمد على Allah, I marvel at your forbearance despite knowing everything. Allah, I marvel at your forbearance despite knowing everything. My brother, you've done something wrong. Allah forbid. You're having an illicit relation. You come home, your wife says, my darling, I missed you so much. Inside you're saying, if she knew what I did, I would have never heard darling. She's only saying what she's saying because she knows not what I have done. Allah is showering that ni'mat, knowing when you very fantasizing the sin, planning the sin, orchestrating the sin, perpetrating the sin, committing the sin, rejoicing the sin. Allah knows it all. From the time you intend the sin and even beyond. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. I know you when I created you from the earth. And I know you, أَجِنَّة, when you were swimming in the womb of your mother. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allah said, don't ever come and claim piety before me. Don't ever. It's very difficult to act pious before that old uncle in the neighborhood who knew you as a delinquent in the school. You know, it's very difficult because that uncle seen your faces and he knew all your tricks and your in and out. Allah said, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا. Don't claim it. هُوَ أَعْلَمْ. He knows who's pious and he knows how pious they are. So Allah, I marvel at your forbearance despite your knowledge. Right? That's the first thing of the forgiveness of Allah. أَنْسَ اللَّهُ حَفَظَتَهُ ذُنُوبَ. Allah says, when you repent, I erase it from the records, but I equally delete it from the memory of the angels who have captured that vice. Now, who does that for you, my brother? Who does that for you? Who does that for you? You know, one person gave me this advice, and I've shared it in my talks. He said, even in the lightest of moments, don't go blow the whistle and divulge your pre-marriage mistakes to your spouse in all your loyalty spirit, because it comes back to hound you, you know. You're a bad person, even you admitted it. You said yourself you were bad. I said, no, my darling, I didn't mean I was bad. I was telling you how I made Tawbah. It comes back. Allah said, I will delete it from the record of the angels. I will delete it. And I will delete it from the memory of the earth where you perpetrated it. Hatta yalqa Allah azza wa jalla yawm al-qiyamah. So qiyamah day you walk with your chest open, your head up, and you don't have to fear this one might know, that one might know, he might have an idea. No. You walk openly, freely. I will not divulge it to anyone. And I won't allow anybody else to keep that record. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. I often say this, and let me say it again, my brother. We pride ourselves to buy so much for our family, and we have no conviction if they will be impressed with our purchase. Let's identify with that as a father, man. Can some people nod their heads, or am I the only one? You know what? I'm buying this year, duty-free. I'm putting it in that cabin. Sorry, sir, can you put your bag that side, please? This is fragile. I'm stressed out there at customs, and when I bring it home, oh, I got this at home long time. All right. Like that. My wife, if only you knew, if only you knew what I had to put up with, you know what, surely courtesy to take that. What was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He accepted a gift as if he needed it. These are the words of Shamail Tirmidhi. He took a gift as if he needed it. Oh man, look at the teachings of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As if he needed it. Oh, this is so good. This is something I'll really put into use. But when I devote tonight to ibadah, my brother, I don't have to think, will my Allah accept it or not? The sheer thought and the rahmat descends. The sheer thought. Man atani yamshi ataytuhu harwada. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, right? I'm paraphrasing. Allah said, I'm already ready in the position to run. Are you ready to run? Obviously, Allah is free from all emotions. And let me qualify my statement here. I'm paraphrasing here. And we don't visualize Allah and we don't create these emotions to Allah. He who walks to me, I run to him. Meaning I embrace him on the sheer intention. So thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks here about all the lame excuses of man. Man is notorious for lame excuses. You know? The traffic officer stopped that guy and he said, yeah, I know you left your license in the jacket and your mother sent the jacket to the dry cleaners and the dry cleaners are closed on Sunday, nah? Because he knows it all and he knows the typical lame excuses that you're going to come with. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sort yourself out. Look at this here. I mean, I was like so emotional when we were listening to it. Allah said, sort yourself out. I don't want to hear on the day of Qiyamah. Oh man, oh man. أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرطت في جنب الله. That a soul mustn't come and say, oh Allah, please accept my regrets. I'm terribly sorry. I made a mockery of your faith and I didn't realize how devastating and catastrophic the implications are. Okay, that's excuse one. I don't want another gentleman to come. Read the Quran, my brother. Open the translation and do yourself a favor a little. I don't want another guy to come up and say, لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah, but then you guided others and you didn't choose that guidance for me. If you had to only give it to me, I would have performed the same good that others did. I'm giving you an open chance. Don't come and tell me that on the day of Qiyamah. Third one, I don't want you to come and say, أَوْ تَقُولَ حِينَ تَرَى الْعَذَابَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That when you see that blaze in flames, تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْرِ. Allah says it wants to burst with fury. These are the words of the Quran. تَكَادُ, it wants to. تَمَيَّزُ, burst. مِنَ الْغَيْرِ, with fury. In rage, those flames want to burst. إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرْ كَالْقَصْرِ. Not the flame, the spark of hell is the size of a palace. The spark of hell. So you come and say, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةِ. Allah, spare me one chance and send me back. فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. I'll show you what I will prove to you. Allah says, now listen, Bala qad ja'atka ayati. I didn't send you one reminder, and I didn't send you two reminders, and I didn't send you three. I sent you 3,000 in multiple forms over extended time, and I showered my favors upon you. Fakadhab, you arrogantly denied. Wastakbart, pride was your symbol. Wakunta minal kafirin, and you refuted. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وُجُوهُهُمْ مُسْوَدَّةٌ أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًى لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Surely there's nothing but hell that awaits you. Amongst the traumas that will be inflicted on the dwellers of hell is psychological trauma. There will be every type of trauma, just as there will be every type of joy for the dwellers of Jannah. It will just not be indulgence. It will just not be the damsels of paradise. It will just not be the wholesome food. It will be the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that would be the pinnacle. And the sahaba outside, and it's a bright moonlit night, and they're staring at the 14 full moon. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, just stay and enjoy in Jannat from your own abode. You'll be enjoying the sight of your Allah in the same way. إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمْرِ لَا تُضَمُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability that we amend now. We amend now. We atone now. We expiate now. We compensate now. We adjust now. At least we sit and say, Allah, I heard these ayats, and I didn't want to be amongst those people, and tragically I end up to be those same people. Allah speaks then about the day of Qiyamah, when the trumpet will be blown. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, you want me to relax and enjoy? How can I relax and enjoy? These are the words of Tirmidhi. When the angel has taken the trumpet and placed it in his mouth, and he stretched his ear to Allah. He's like, on your marks, get set. That's where he is. كَيْفَ أَنْعُمْ وَقَدِ الْتَقَ مَصَاحِبُ الْقَرْنِ. When the angel has taken the trumpet, placed it in his mouth, أَصْغَى سَمْعَهُ, and stretched his ear to Allah. Like, Allah, give me the signal and I'm blowing. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you want me to sit and indulge in the world? No, مَالِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا, مَالِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا, I've got better things to do. وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا. There will be this glow that will come from the earth. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ, and the book of deeds will be placed. Look at this. وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ, and the prophets will be lined up. وَالشُّهَدَى, and the witnesses will be brought. And then Allah will make the decision. Justice, absolute truth, no injustice, no form of oppression, no form of exploitation. وَوُفِّيَتْ, وَوُفِّيَتْ, every soul will be compensated or retributed in full. You say he's got 10 life sentences, but he got one life, my friend. He got one life. Even a cat, they say, got 9 lives only. 10 life sentences, but he only has one life. He's committed so many crimes. How is he going to be punished for everything? Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, the bloodshedder, notorious. He killed thousands of people. Someone seen him in a dream. He said, Allah made me taste the agony of death in lieu of every unjust murder I perpetrated. قَتَلَنِي بِكُلِّ قَتِيلٍ قَتَلْتُهُ قَتْلَهُ وَقَتَلَنِي بِسَعِيدِ بْنِ جُبَيْرٍ سَبْعِينَ قَتْلَهُ. And because I interfered with one of the friends of Allah, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, Allah said, you'll die 70 times. So you'll go through the whole exercise of death, but there's no death. That's what the Quran said. Allah speaks about the dwellers of hell. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ. His thirst will be so compelling that he will accept any liquid that is presented. Understand this, my brother, understand this. This is not a thumb suck, my brother, it's not a thumb suck. This is the Quran. And this is what you and I are alien to, foreign to, ignorant to. His thirst will be so compelling that he will accept boiling water and pus from his own wounds as the last resort, because nothing else available. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ, he will try and swallow it. وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ, but it won't go down his throat due to the odor and the despicable smell of it. وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَامٍ, and the intensity of death will get more, as if he's dying at any time. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّدٍ, But he'll be in that critical point which if he was in the world, he would have died. But he will stay here because there is no death. La yuqda alayhim fayamutu. Neither the decree of death will be made so they can peacefully die. وَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُم مِّنْ عَذَابِهَا. I was pouring water the other day, Sayyidi time, and little for one of the children, and the vapor, and then slightly the kettle slipped, and a little water hit my skin. And I thought to myself, I have to microscopically look for the burnt mark, but this has made me so restless. And this was consciously I moved my hand. This was not deliberately I'm burning. And this was the flames of this world. And it's so little that it's not visible to the naked eye. But it left me so uneasy. I just started thinking, Allah, what are these flames of hell going to be like, my Allah? My brother, before you walk in a club, my young brother, before you walk in a pub, before you hold the hand of a strange woman, before you sign a fraudulent deed, before you usurp the rights of others, before you devour the wealth of others, understand what you're putting yourself into. A man who's health conscious, you eat that, what he says, my friend, you're selling your health. Like one doctor said it, you walk in a shop, you say, no, I'm not going to buy this, it's too expensive. You say, I'm not going to eat this here, it's too expensive on my health. It's too expensive. The harm that brings to my body, I can do without the pleasure. Understand, my brother, what am I doing? لا خير في لذة من بعدها النار. لا خير في لذة. There's no joy in any indulgence post which is the torment of hell. There's no luxury in any pleasure and joy. And then what happens? After it is hell, then what? May Allah save us. So one of the psychological traumas of the dwellers of hell will be, every time they'll go to hell, Allah will say to them, or you weren't told, or nobody informed you. So they will say to the angels, don't rub it in. We heard it enough. And the angels will keep on telling them. So you mean you didn't know about this day? Oh, okay, so you mean you were totally oblivious? So apparently you were not informed. Now you know you did a wrong. You know you're guilty. You know you are completely miserable. And somebody rubs this in continuously. It can be very, very painful. I read a nice quote the other day off the topic, but the word rub hits it, you know, and my mind just runs in that. They say when your partner makes a mistake, don't rub it in, rub it out. And today, unfortunately, we all rub it in, right? When your partner may, and a partner is the context, but whether it's your colleague or your subject or your subordinate or anyone, don't rub it in, rub it out. Unfortunately, we are the other way around. So what will the angel say to them? أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ. So did the prophets not come to you? Nobody told you. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Hang on, we were told enough. That's not all. As they go into hell, Allah will say, flung open a door of paradise. They will see the aroma. They'll see the bliss. And then Allah will say to them, okay, while you burn, just imagine, had you obeyed me, that was yours. Can you imagine that trauma? What would happen? You dangle the Galaxy phone before your son and you say, if you were good, this is yours. But for now, you won't get the fake version of it also. For now, my friend, you won't get the fake version of it. But had you obeyed me, that would have been yours. What would be the rage? What would be the anger? What would be the frustration? The Quran said they will run for escape. كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ غَمٍ أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. Allah says, the angels that will be standing and in charge of Jahannam, مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاذٌ غِلَاذُ الْأَقْوَالِ شِدَادُ الْأَفْعَالِ. Robots will strike them with hammers of hell and send them back into hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, and that we reflect and we ponder and we understand. And this is the pattern of the Quran. Wherever Allah speaks of hell, then Allah speaks of paradise. This is throughout the Quran. If it's the mention of the actions of paradise, then it's hell. Either this way, that way, Allah concludes the discussion by the people of Jannah. Allah make us amongst them. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. And yes, the pious will be brought in their delegations. Zumar in their groups, in their delegations. Hatta idha ja'uha. When they will arrive at paradise, the narration of Targhib. Tastakhiffuha al-ajala. The damsels will be informed of the arrival of their respected spouses. They will jump with joy and excitement and jubilation. وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, the doors will be opened up in advance. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا, the custodians of paradise will say to them, those in charge of paradise, خَازِن, خَزَن, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Oh, congratulations. You couldn't do better. Congratulations. Really, you've done it. This is it, my brother. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, success is success post which there is no failure. And failure is that failure post which there's no success. But as for this dunya, it's up and down. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. It's turning. Yesterday's, you know what, king is today's subject. Today's subject is tomorrow's king. Yesterday's terrorist is today's icon. Today's icon is tomorrow's. It just goes on and on. And then they will say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدًا. All praise belongs to Allah who fulfilled what He said. He fulfilled and here we are. أَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضِ. He gave us this garden of Jannah. نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ. We can freely, merrily walk around in paradise. فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. Surely Allah pays in full. Surely Allah pays handsomely. Surely Allah rewards big time. Surely the pay is handsome here. Subhanallah. May Allah make us amongst them. I will just end with one incident that is mentioned here under the next ayah, Surah Mu'min. And that is one of the wisdoms of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned in Ibn Kathir that one day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, under the same ayah, he was sitting with his people and he rotated his gaze and he found a young man who used to attend his gathering was not there. So he said, Aina fulan, I don't see a particular gentleman. Is he around? He's out. So they said, hey, yeah, he's caught up in some social evils. The man's got a bit of a drinking habit. So Sayyidina Umar said, okay, just stop it there, please. We don't want to know more. Stop it there. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, Amitu al-batila bitarki dhikrihi. Put an end to falsehood by not promoting the discussion. Just let it lie. Let it lie. You must see Imam Ghazali has written amazing things. He said, no, I'm talking about it so that it can change the man and some reform can happen. He said, if you were sincere in your intention of reformation, you would have first spoken to Allah before speaking to the humans. You would have first made dua to Allah, Allah change this man. Allah, I've observed this here. It hurts me, it bites me, it eats me, it consumes me. My poor brother is involved in this here. Cry to Allah, beg to Allah. That is the sign of it. Then, if you were motivated by his sincere reformation, you would have been happy if anybody else addressed it than yourself as long as the necessary measures were taken. You wouldn't have wanted to be the one to come out loud and clear it and speak about it. Those are indications of your ikhlas. But you want to come about it, you don't ever want to make dua. Unfortunately, that you know what, puts great question marks to your intention. So anyway, Sayyidina Umar said, stop it. I don't want to hear anything. And he said, the program has been put on halt. Subject to change without prior notice, is it? So the program is not going ahead. And then he said, bring a piece of paper. And he recited this ayah. And he wrote, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, min Umar ibn al-Khattab. Oh man, Umar, you just hear him and I don't know what happens to my body. I just get this something in me. Like I've always said and I continue to say, how I cry at the grave of Umar radiallahu anhu, I just cannot cry at any other sahabi's grave like that. When I stand there, it just gives me another pour down. And I just run through the pages of history. And I just like want to hug this man. And at the distance, if I can kiss his feet, I will be ecstatic and elated. May Allah make us stand up with them on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah make it that our youth start cherishing and honoring and revering these people. These are our ideals. These are our people. These are the people we look on to. Hang on, my brother. I beg to differ with you, man. I beg to differ grossly with people who, on their profile pictures or elsewhere, keep, you know what, you know it, and I don't have to complete the sentences, man. Think of it, my brother. You identify with a man, you pride yourself with a man. Heaven forbid you die the fate of that man. Heaven forbid you stand up on the day of Qiyamah with that man. When you are comfortable associating yourself with that man throughout his life, I don't understand, it beats my understanding, how do our people find pleasure and pride in this? So anyway, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, from Umar to brother so-and-so, Inni ahmadullah alladhi la ilaha illahu. I praise before you Allah, besides whom there is no other deity. غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي التول لا إله إلا هو غافر الذنب, he forgives sins, قابل التوب. He accepts repentance. غافر الذنب قابل التوب الشديد العقاب. But his torment is severe. ذي الطول ذي القدرة. He has great might. And ذي المني. He has great favors. لا إله إلا هو. There is no deity but he. إليه المصير. To him is the return. And then he said to the scribe who wrote it. He gave it to an envoy. He said two things. You give it to this young man who unfortunately is caught up in some of his evil habits. By Allah, no man who is sinning is happy. No man. If you prove it otherwise, I will get off my minbar and I'll give it to you, my brother. The first thing that you bid farewell to in your life when you sin is inner happiness. The first thing you bid in farewell to, my brother, let me tell you that clearly. When you touch in wrong, when you touch in sin, you don't sleep a peaceful sleep. You can live in a palatial palace, you are miserable in your bed. You are miserable in your night. Your home is in fire. You admit it or you deny it, Allah's Quran said it. So I don't have to sit and substantiate it, the words of Allah. Allah is infallible, impeccable, flawless, blemishless. I am fallible, it's intrinsic to my nature. But the words of Allah are blemishless and flawless. So give him the note in his hand. That's one. Number two, don't give it to anyone else. Look at the care of protecting the sinner. Don't give it to anyone else. You know, we need to be protective. We need to be sensitive. If we want to address something, why must we go and blow the whistle and divulge it? And second thing is give it to the man when he's sober and not when he's drunk. So if you go there and you don't find him in a good state, hang on. When he stabilizes, then you give it to him. And then he said to everyone that was sitting there, "Ud'u Allah li akhikum an yaqbal Allah bi qalbihi." Now every one of you make dua that when this note reaches our brother there, Allah Ta'ala must soften his heart. Allah must give him the ability to embrace it and he must respond positively. So this was just not a sheer SMS or an empty text message or just a devoid of anything or bereft of anything. No, no. This text was laden with spirituality. This was brimming with inner concern. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ الرَّجُلْ كِتَابُ عُمَرٍ. When the note of Sayyidina Umar came, رَدَّدَهُ, he started reading and he started tearing. He said, حَذَّرَنِي عُقُوبَتَهُ وَوَعَدَنِي أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي. Umar, I salute you. What a verse you took out of the Quran. In the first verse, you gave me a subtle message of how Allah can punish. And in the second verse, you showed me how Allah can forgive also. ثُمَّ نَزَعَ فَأَحْسَنَ النَّزَعَ. Then that youngster became one of the most reformed youth of Medina. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu heard of this, he didn't take credit for himself. There was no rain and I made dua and see where the clouds came. Who said there's no more pious people left in the world? And we want to take credit for everything, man. Credit for everything. And you sit there and wonder, Sayyidina Umar said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ أَخًا لَكُمْ زَلَّ زَلَّةً فَسَدِّدُوهُ وَوَثِّقُوهُ وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَعْوَانًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ عَلَيْهِ. Listen, my brothers, if ever you see any of your brother has slipped or fallen, please don't push him deeper. Please don't push him deeper. I read an amazing thing and I'll conclude on this note. Sahaba used to say, whenever we seen a person doing wrong, we never became judgmental on the man until we seen the state in which he died. Whenever we seen a man do it, because we don't know what's the repentance behind. And when we seen a man doing good also, we didn't hasten in praising him until we didn't see the fate in which he died. Because that concludes it. That decides it. When we were studying, you can be coming out first in the first year, but if you fail in your final year, nobody talks about that first you got in your first year. Everybody talks about the final year results, because that is decisive. And that's also a temporary decision. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect us to the book of Allah. May Allah connect us to the Quran. May Allah create a bond with us in the Quran. Allah grant us all the understanding.